It's now time for the Asia Pacific report, and we are joined by Sanusha Naidu. Sanusha, good morning, and thank you so much for joining us on Radio Islam International.
Good morning, and hope you're well, and good morning to the viewers.
It's good to have you on with us. Looking at some of the topics, the first one, China's Xi reappears on state TV amid rumors over absence.
President Xi Jinping made his first visit outside of the country earlier last week when he attended the Shanghai Cooperation Organization Summit. And that was the first time since COVID that the president had traveled outside of the borders of China. And what was interesting was that there was a report that came out earlier in the week to suggest that there was a coup attempt in Beijing around President Xi Jinping being displaced as leader. And it was a very naughty report. It was a very facetious report, but also it was kind of, you know, got social media into a space where there was a sense that, you know, this is what President Xi Jinping was afraid of if he had traveled outside of the country, that there would be a palace coup, members in the CCP, because he's been cracking the whip. There's been a purge of senior members in the party, and the Chinese Communist Party goes into its Congress next month, on the 17th of October. And this is where President Xi Jinping has been consolidating power for a third term. And so there was this kind of very naughty, very facetious report that somehow came out of an Indian newspaper as well, to suggest that there was a coup. But then, of course, yesterday or the day before, President Xi Jinping made a television appearance. He was physically in Beijing, and he made a public appearance. So this kind of quelled those rumors. But it also tells you to what extent these issues that we are talking about in terms of power dynamics and questions of challenges to power, especially in the context of where the Chinese political space is, has become very fraught, it's become very sensitive, and there's been the kind of sense that, you know, does President Xi Jinping feel comfortable in the position? Are there restlessness, are there murmurs in Beijing with regard to his presidency as well as in the party, given the fact that he's taken a very tough stance on corruption? But it's also about political power and consolidating that political power. But the story that broke was actually fake news, but the way it actually impacted on the fact that Al Jazeera and other bigger major, well, mainly Al Jazeera, kind of spoke about it in the sense that it's not a comfortable time for President Xi Jinping right now. So I think that in itself is, you know, talks two things happening in China. One is the political power structures and the presidential power, but the other is the fact that in this day and age, through fake news, we can have these kinds of unprecedented, unsubstantiated reports that do the rounds, and then people just assume that something had happened.
Yeah, especially, you know, China being one of the main countries in that region. Now, maybe you can tell us something about Australia. Australia flags privacy overhaul after youth cyber attack on Optus.
Yeah, I mean, just to go back a little bit on the China story, China's not just a major actor in Asia. It is the second largest, most powerful economy in the world, given the tension between Washington and China. And I think that story about a possible coup in Beijing, or the fact that because President Xi Jinping did not emerge or was not seen in public for a few days, that there's a possible attempt to displace him politically, I think also is important in the global, in the broader global geopolitics of what's going on. So coming to the Australian story, I mean, Australia experienced one of its biggest cybersecurity breaches last week. And it has to do with a telecoms company called Optus. And basically the company had about 10 million customers' personal detail breached in the cyber attack. And so what the Australian government wants to do is it wants to now put into place much more stringent privacy laws that basically compel telecom companies, service providers companies, or any kind of company that's dealing with customer data, especially personal information, to be able to immediately report this to banks and other institutions when they see a breach of information that's happened. Now, the Australian Prime Minister has actually said that the corporate sector in Australia needs a huge wake-up call, and this has been that huge wake-up call where people's data have become compromised. And so they want to ensure that there are privacy provisions that if people are caught in these kinds of data breaches, institutions like banks need to know immediately so that they can protect their customers. And one of the things I think Australia is looking towards, the government is looking towards in terms of cybersecurity requirements, is to actually follow perhaps what the EU has done. And what the EU has done is that the EU has placed a 40% fine on companies where customer information has been compromised, especially your payment details, your account passwords, etc. And they're looking to slap companies with that fine because they say that companies have essentially not taken responsibility, or they haven't basically been upfront and open about these kinds of issues when they have these attacks on their database. So I think at the end of the day, even for us in South Africa, we've got to also think about how these data breaches, whether it's in telecoms or whether it's in the bank. I mean, I think recently we heard that one of the banks had a data breach, but they were busy saying, oh, nothing has been compromised. But we don't know. And I think with privacy laws, we've got to actually now take it a step higher and start thinking about what does this mean for ordinary people on the street whose rights are being infringed because companies are actually using third parties to collate their data. I think Dis-Chem was a good example of this, where a third party had basically been compromised because they were handling the customer base database for Dis-Chem. So I think at the end of the day, there has to be accountability, and particularly now where people are becoming vulnerable when it comes to their personal information.
And finally, you're not fooling anyone. That's what External Affairs Minister Jaishankar on the US F-16 package for Pakistan.
Yeah, so the external Minister of External Affairs, the Indian Minister of External Affairs, was on a 10-day visit to the U.S. As part of the United Nations General Assembly meeting attendance, but also engaging with the different diaspora in the U.S., the Indian diaspora and so forth. And he was asked about this package deal on military deal, aircraft deal that the U.S. is going to sell F-16 fighter jets to Pakistan. And this was something that was put on hold by the Trump presidency, and so now it seems to be back on the books by the Biden administration. And so the question was asked is, you know, what is his impression of this? And his response was that these F-15 fighter jet fleet that the U.S. wants to send to as part of a sustainment program to Pakistan and to fight terrorism and be able to engage in counterterrorism activities. He actually said, you know, very honestly, the relationship is something that we've got to be very clear about, and that and the U.S. is not fooling anybody that the real intention of this fighter jet package is about enabling and strengthening Pakistan's counterterrorism intervention. And so his argument was that, you know, you got to understand that when you start entering into these phrases, his argument was that you've got to look at what the real intention of the relationship is between the U.S. and Pakistan, and more importantly, what are the value propositions and the outputs that come out from this relationship. And he was talking about this in the context of what does counterterrorism content mean in the sense of what this package deal is all about. And I think that's really about the tension between Pakistan and India, and the fact that the U.S., you know, has been a traditional ally of Pakistan, but also I think it complicates the region as well in terms of how this is going to be then linked to counterterrorism, or will it be linked to a more militarized South Asian peninsula, particularly on the borderlines and the fault lines of the bordered areas between Pakistan and India. And that's where a lot of the tensions lie. And I think that's what he was trying to allude to when he said, you're not fooling anybody. Because at the end of the day, even though the Indian government has now banned and put on the terrorist list one of the biggest groups in the country, I think they basically are quite perplexed by the fact that this deal, which costs about $450 million of fighter jets that are going to be sold to the Pakistanis, is going to create more security issues and national security tensions between the two sides.
Yeah, and that's the last thing that we want right now. Tension just seems to be building up all over, and you know, in that region and other places of the world as well. And we need to move away from creating tension, rather creating peace. Sister Sanusha, thank you so much for your time this morning. Really appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, and have a good day.
Same to you. So that was Sanusha Naidu with the Asia Pacific Report. She is the Senior Research Associate based with the Institute for Global Dialogue.